If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open up with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I've talked about the fact that we're jumping a little back and forth between the two letters to the church in Thessalonica. And when I was putting together this series, I looked at both books, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and I really liked the benediction that he gives at the end of the first letter, as it just seems like a little bit fuller of a closing. With many of these letters, he sent the first one, and he addressed the major issues, and then there was a follow-up letter, I guess you could say, that further expanded upon the teachings and addressed new issues. But as far as the two benedictions go, the two endings go, I just liked the first one better. So I thought it would be fitting to close our series with the benediction from 1 Thessalonians. So we're going to finish 2 Thessalonians before we finish 1 Thessalonians. And I hope that's okay with you all. We're still going to cover the material. I thought that the passage that I saved for next week would be a really good way of closing this series, tying it all together. Well, for today, we are going to be reading verses 6 through 15 of chapter 3 in 2 Thessalonians. And this will finish out his teachings in the second letter that he wrote to the Christians there. Hear now the word of our Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teachings you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them, in order that they may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. This is the word of God from the people of God today. Well, in this final part of the second letter to the Thessalonians, Paul finishes his instructions to them with what, in my Bible at least, is labeled a warning against idleness. Now, I know that the labels on the various sections of Scripture, these were added later, so you shouldn't be surprised by that. The labels themselves are not authoritative, but they're really good at helping us to break up the text, and to some degree helping understand the message there within the text. And I think this was a very fitting title that the translators of the NIV, or at least publishers of this particular version of the NIV, chose to go with: a warning against idleness. And some of you may be listening to what he is talking about here, and particularly, those who are being busybodies, and say, how is that an issue of idleness? And how do some of these things really have to do with the message of the gospel? Well, one thing that I have have tended to notice as I look through church history, as I look through history in general, and this will give away a little bit of why I chose the title for my message that I did, of Don't Get Too Comfortable. Whenever there is persecution, whenever there is struggle, whenever there are hardships, people are not idle. They're out there, they are working, they are doing the things that need to be done. They don't take anything for granted because they know just how valuable what they have is. You know, in the context of Veterans Day, whenever there is, it has been in the history, a war going on, people tend not to take for granted the freedoms that come to them. When they can see the effects every day of those sacrifices, they're not idle. Look at World War II and how the entire country came together salvaging scrap metal for weapons and planes and other stuff and doing everything they could to do their part. In the same way in the church, when things are struggling in the church, when there is persecution, when our brothers and sisters in faith are in need, we're not idle. We get out there. We do stuff. Think of all the mission trips that are sent when a church is either destroyed due to natural disaster or by other means. I think back to last year when we had those, first the tornadoes in western Kentucky, then the floods in eastern Kentucky. We were kind of sandwiched in the middle being safe, and we sent aid in both directions to help our brothers and sisters in faith who were affected by those disasters. And in countries where they are literally fighting every day for their rights to worship God, they're not idle. They're out there doing the work of the Lord. And while I don't think it's God's plan for us that we should always be in 100% chaos, running 1,000 miles per hour just so we don't be idle, I think God gives us those times of peace. And we are to be thankful for those times of peace when they come. What I've noticed is that in times of peace, people get complacent. People take for granted those things which have been given them. And that's where this idleness, this disruptiveness, this being busybodies starts to find its way back into our communities and our churches. Now, looking at the church in America, for a very long time, we have been blessed, truly blessed, with the freedom to worship. The freedom to live a Christian life without much challenge. The freedom to preach the gospel without fear of being shut down. And I'm afraid that because of that, there has become a sense of idleness across the church. We've gotten comfortable in our freedom. I thank God for our freedoms every day, but I think for many Christians across this nation, they've gotten a bit too comfortable. And with that being comfortable, they begin to fall into these traps of idleness, which the Apostle Paul was speaking against. Now, of course, in looking at this, there are certain things that we need to take at face value. We can't read deep theology into all of it. Paul is saying, you know what? Don't be lazy. There is a warning against being lazy here. As Christians, we are not supposed to be lazy. We're not supposed to be lazy in our evangelism, but we're also not supposed to be lazy in our everyday lives. this line here in verse 10 is one that my dad has used with me and my sister throughout our entire lives. And it's one that those of you who are parents, you probably have used it on your own kids. And it's that the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. I can't tell you how many times growing up when my sister and I would complain about doing chores or would not want to go do something, he would remind us that the Bible tells us the one who doesn't work won't eat. And there were times that that was not an idle threat. And it's important for us to remember that we as human beings were created for work. We weren't created to work ourselves to death. But look back to the very beginning. Look back to the Garden of Eden. God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden. Now, those of you who have ever had a garden, do gardens take work? Yes. They take a lot of work. If you leave a garden sitting unattended for even a week, what will happen? Weeds will spring up. Bushes will get overgrown. And those plants in the garden will stop flowering. They'll stop producing fruit. They'll stop doing the stuff that they are meant to do. Now, it's a little bit different for Adam and Eve in the very beginning because there were no weeds yet. All you gardeners out there, how would you love to not have to deal with weeds? Not have to deal with bugs eating your plants? Not have to deal with all of those hard parts of gardening? But even in the perfect environment where there are no weeds and no bugs and everything's just dandy, there's still work to do, isn't there? And God put Adam and Eve in the garden in order to work. It may not have been hard work, but it was still work. God created us to do the good work which He has set before us. And when we get idle, when we start letting things just be given to us, which is nice at times. It's nice to be waited on hand and foot. And it's good to indulge in that from time to time for purposes of rest. But as Christians, we should not seek the idle life. You know, one of the big theoretical questions that people like to ask, especially whenever the lottery starts getting really big, is what would you do if you won the lottery? Would you quit your job? Would you just stop working? Would you just go play and have fun? You know, I'm sure we would all do some of that. But blessings like that are not meant to be an excuse to simply idle. For those who have been given blessings and resources, God provides for them a different type of work, different opportunities to serve God and serve others, to be the hands and feet of Christ. The same thing goes when it comes to spiritual idleness. For those who are brand new Christians who are still trying to get things figured out, there's a lot of temptation to battle against. I've talked about before the fact that when someone first comes to Christ, they will often find, contrary to their preconceived notions, that temptation gets worse. It gets harder to do what they know is right because the devil really wants to get them back. And so so for the early Christian, there is a lot of temptation. There is a lot of spiritual work to be done. There is a lot of struggle in maintaining that relationship with Christ. But for those of us who have been in the church for a long time, for those who have been Christians their entire lives, for those who have matured enough in their faith that they're not tempted by a lot of things, there's the temptation for spiritual idleness. When you are relying on God every single day to resist temptation, to walk in the way that He has called you to walk, you're going to be praying every day, you're going to be reading your Bible every day, you're going to be fasting regularly, you're going to be doing all of these spiritual disciplines in order to stay as close to God as humanly possible. But when you're not dealing with great temptations, when you're not having to rely on God every day just to be able to walk a holy life, or at least from our perspective, we don't have to, it's easy to get comfortable. Maybe a day will go by when you don't read your Bible. I've read it before. I've read this passage before. I don't need to spend time on it today. I have other things that need to be done. And you may even do it in the name of serving God. This is a temptation for a lot of pastors, and they talk about this continually at seminary, not to let ourselves fall into the trap of only reading the Bible to prepare for your sermon. You know, the ministry is one of those careers where we're required to read the Bible every week in order to prepare for Bible study, for sermon writing, for various other things. But when we get too busy, when we get too comfortable in the fact of, oh, well, I know what Scripture says, then it's easy to get into that temptation of, oh, well, you know, I read that passage. I don't need to sit and study it. I don't need to have that personal devotion time with the Lord. See, as pastors, and when we get comfortable in our faith, spiritual idleness is a real temptation. And what happens when we become spiritually idle is we start to lose that spiritual feeling as well. You know that rule, those who don't work will not eat, goes along with our spiritual lives as well. If we don't work on our spiritual lives, when we become spiritually idle, then we will cease to receive that spiritual nourishment that comes from fellowship with God. We will stop growing in our faith. We'll become spiritually malnourished. And at times it's those who seem to have it all figured out, spiritually speaking, who find themselves not believing at all. It's hard for people to understand how some of these great pastors who preach great messages, who run great big churches, who have written hundreds of books on Scripture and theology, who can quote any little obscure verse in all of Scripture and even pronounce all of those weird names correctly, will suddenly come out and say they've lost their faith. And we in the church look at that and say, how can that happen? In many cases, I think it's because although they were very busy, they were spiritually idle. And in their idleness, they starved themselves of the Spirit.
think there's a great warning here in this letter to the church of the Thessalonians that we are to take from as well. We've seen how the church in Thessalonica dealt with quite a bit of turmoil. There was a lot of persecution early on. There were a lot of struggles. But as that persecution started to die down, at least for a time, yes, they rejoiced. But Paul warns them, don't get too comfortable. Remember, you're still waiting for Christ to come back. And while you're waiting, you have work to do. We have been called to serve the kingdom of God while we await Christ's return. And those in the early church, they all really thought Christ was going to come back in their lifetime. When Christ said he was coming back soon, everyone who heard it assumed he meant soon by human standards, not by God's standards. And now it's been 2,000 years and we hear that Christ is coming back soon and we're like, yeah, right. He's coming back sometime, but not in my lifetime. I'm not in a hurry. There's not an urgency anymore. I know he's going to come back at some time in the future. But it's not something to get all up in arms about. Simply live your life the best you can, and then you get to go back. Brothers and sisters, that's not how we in the church are called to live. We are to live every moment as if it might be our last. We are to live every moment as if that trumpet blast is about to sound. And we are to serve the kingdom of God. We are to grow in our faith. We are called to lean on Christ every day. Continually relying on Him for everything. Can't let ourselves get so comfortable in our faith that we stop growing. This message to the Thessalonians is a message to the church today as well. And we are entering into a season in the Western world where it's going to be harder to be a Christian. And for those who have gotten too comfortable coming and sitting in the pews once a week and saying the prayer before every meal, but never really spending that necessary time on growing closer to God. Those who are Christians because they've just always been Christians. It's not a challenge for them anymore. When the time comes that it becomes harder to be a Christian in our culture, those who have gotten too comfortable, those who have become spiritually idle, will realize that their faith is in trouble. So I urge each one of you not to be idle in your faith. And this is something that I have to work on as well. Every single one of us, clergy and lay, young and old, we all have to continue working. Working on our relationship with God, studying the scriptures, spending time in prayer and devotion, and striving to be more like Him every day. So don't be lazy. If you don't work, you don't eat. And there's good food downstairs. Let us continue every day.